who taped CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday afternoon, December the 26th, 2007. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on curses.
Almost born in Pentecost. When I was a year old, my folks got saved and got the Holy Ghost in a little mission that later became an Assembly of God Church back in the early 1920s. And I was taught by tradition no Christian can have a demon because no demon can cross the bloodline. I was taught that no Christian can have a curse because if you had the Holy Ghost, you couldn't have a curse. Well, I found out that all of that is false teaching. The devil's done a good job with them for the last almost 100 years, or over 100, just like he has with the rapture theory. That started back in the 1930s when Margaret MacDonald over in England, and it's got carried on until it's a doctrine today, but there's no scripture for it. And the scripture that's used for it is twisted. Doesn't mean one at all. Now the Lord's coming. Amen. And the worse it gets, the sooner it's going to get here.
Amen.
Now we don't like to hear that. But it's still true. Because America, unless America's laughing at God today, and God won't put up with that forever. And he says that innocent blood has to be accounted for. Abortion is a shedding of innocent blood. And somewhere, someday, it's all got to be accounted for. Because God is a righteous judge. And he says in his word that innocent blood has to be accounted for. But when we first become introduced to deliverance, I was very adamant that a Christian could not and did not have a demon. But and pretty close to home, I began to see things that began to happen that it wasn't God. So it had to be something. So after a couple of times I saw people that I knew were Christians, and I saw manifestation and I saw deliverance, especially in my wife, who insisted that she had lots of demons. And as time went by, both of us began to receive deliverance. So I had to change my theology. And eventually, not only changed my theology, but of all things, to be in a place that teaches what I didn't believe. And curses. It's impossible to have a curse. That's only done by witches. Put curses on you. We had, we traveled with Derek Prince for, 2 or 3 years, helped him in his meetings, and he come and, he, him and his wife Lydia came and stayed Well, I guess they were working in our house about 15 days. And we used to travel with the Full Gospel Businessman. And Erwin was in charge of the book tables, set up with tables like this at the lobby of the hotels. And once in a while, Derek would walk by the book table. And he would say, Irma, he'd say, you got a python wrapped around you. And he'd just walk on by. And he'd done that 7 times. And his wife heard him do it a couple times. And she said, Derek, leave that poor girl alone. Either deliver her or quit talking to her. Well, they were staying at our house. Well, he said, I've just got to pray for you, Irma, while I'm here. Well, we have service every morning at 9 o'clock. And it went to 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then we had service at 7 o'clock, which went to midnight. Or longer. And just every time. So the last day, they're going to leave. They've got to leave. They have a plane there, plane to catch. So we get up in the morning, and he said, Irma, I can't leave until I pray for you. She was ready. So me too, but it was her that he didn't torment me. So, I don't know why he did this, because we had a big living room and a den and a dining room. He takes a chair and says, come on, let's go to the bedroom. So he takes a chair and we go in the bedroom. And so she got on the chair and starts to pray for her. When he did, and Lydia too, she was there. When he did, the spirit spoke out of her and said, I'm not coming out. I've been here all her life, and I'm not coming out. And it's just like I'm talking to you. Just the way it sounded to me, it wasn't her voice. She was saying it. So Derek said, what do you do? And the demon said, I won't let her believe the Bible. And she, her dad was a Pentecostal Assembly God preacher. She's raised ever since she's about 10 years old. In a preacher's house where they read the Bible every day. But he said, I won't let her believe the Bible. Derek said, well, you're coming out. And he said, no, I'm not. About that time, Sister Prince stepped into the battle. She said, in the name of Jesus. She started talking in tongues. And she was a woman that you didn't want to cross. I'm serious. Didn't want to cross her. And she started in, and this demon threw her about halfway across the room. And Derek got a hold of her and sent her back down, and her watch went off somewhere, and we found it later. And this demon came out with a whole lot more. Now, she was up. More than an A student. She was an A student, plus plus. She had a photographic mind, memory. And everything with the Bible. She could read it. When she shut the book up, she couldn't remember what she read. So, then he also prayed for her and said, you've got a spirit of witchcraft. And he said, it's coming from your mother. No, he said, your grandmother. So pray for that and get rid of that. Then, later, a little later after, just before they, I was getting ready to take him down to the airport, I said, you know, you said she had a spirit of divination from her grandmother. I said, that's a curse, Derek. He said, oh, no. Christians can't have a curse. Oh, he's the for a long time. Yet, even after we were here, I did not believe a Christian could be under a curse. Well, if you notice his wonderful book over there, Blessing or Curse, you see that he's changed his mind. When he was in our house, he couldn't write that book because he didn't believe that. Well, anyway, after we got back in, before he wrote that book, we just had a Bible study here on Thursday night. People on the campground, and ladies have started to have one again here on Thursday night. And I think that's good. Louise over here, she's the teacher. She's a good one. So anyway, we had Bible study here on Thursday night, and this one Thursday night, I taught on the blood of Jesus. Now there's a Pentecostal Baptist tradition that they say, I plead the blood. Well, there is no scripture for that statement that I plead the blood. And if you're dealing in deliverance and with demons, and you do that, not always, but sometimes, they'll just laugh in your face. They'll laugh at you. Because you see, you have no authority. The only authority you have is the instrument.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
Now, my mother, she was 96 when she passed away, and I'm sure that she used that statement the day she died, because that was ingrained in her, and God honored, but she never did cast any demons out. But, and I talked to her about it, and to her, and she kind of, yes and no, you know. But it was ingrained in her. It was just automatic. I plead the blood. But there are, so this Thursday night, I was teaching on the blood of Jesus. And, I was teaching, there are five scriptural aspects of the blood. There are five of them that I have found that I have a scripture for. You can apply the blood of Jesus. You can apply it. You can appropriate the blood of Jesus. You can appropriate it. Let me see. You can cover with the blood of Jesus. Find scriptures for all of these. You can sprinkle with the blood of Jesus. Sprinkle. The priest, sprinkle the blood. Moses, sprinkle the blood on the congregation and on the book. Sprinkle the blood. But there's one more. It's more important than all. Surely, you know that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, simply what? Washed in the blood. So there are five. And that's what I taught on this Thursday night. And one of the ladies who live here, who has said, gone home to be with the Lord, went home that night. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, the Lord woke her up. He pressed on her to get up and look up what she could find about the blood of Jesus. Now, I had taught on it, so to get up and look at the blood of Jesus. So she got up and looked up, and to my knowledge, I have been able to find 26 specific scriptures that apply to the blood of Jesus in different ways. And she thought, what am I looking this up for? Well, the day before, she had gone to the doctor for a checkup, hadn't been for years, and just felt to go. And the doctor had called her Thursday to tell her the results of part of her examination. And he said, you're a borderline diabetic. Well, that doesn't might not mean much to you and me. But her mother had died with sugar diabetes. Her grandmother had died with sugar diabetes. She had two sisters, and one of them had so bad that she had lost one foot. Sugar diabetes. And she had a Lord on one. And you see, that night, I had read a scripture. Leviticus chapter 3. In my study of the blood, I had read the scripture. And I read the verse that I wanted to read in relation to our study about the blood. But for no reason, it had nothing to do with the study that night, I finished reading the chapter. Let's read Leviticus chapter 3, starting with verse 13. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of it and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the sons of Aaron shall sprinkle the blood thereof upon the altar round about. Sprinkling of the blood. Verse 6 in chapter 4 says the same thing. And he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat that covered the inwards, and all the fat that's upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that's upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul, and the liver, and the kidneys, he shall take it away. Oh, I thought they were ready. They shall take it and cook it in the kitchen and eat it. Oh, don't say that. Oh, they take it. They're supposed to take it away. That's forbidden. Eat that part of the animal. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire, for a sweet savor. And all the fat is the Lord's. Verse 17. And it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings. What is perpetual? Forever. Perpetual. That it is still perpetual today, and it will be until the Lord comes back. That you eat neither fat nor blood. Now that didn't mean a thing to me that night. I just read the rest of the chapter. Had no idea why I read it. The Lord showed her that night that the reason for diabetes in their family was a curse on the family for eating blood. And it was the reason for sugar diabetes, for eating blood. Now, since then, then she came back. She didn't say anything about it. We had prayer meeting Saturday night. We had church Sunday morning. And when we got through praise and worship Sunday morning service, I said, anybody have a prayer request? And she put her hand up, and I said to her, I said, say on. That's what I said, say on. So she related to us. The Lord had woke her up, and had looked up all the verses about blood, and he impressed upon her that she was under a curse of her ancestors for eating blood. Blood sausage, blood pudding, blood soup. Now, I knew people that ate blood. When we used to butcher, our neighbors used to come and catch it. When we butcher. And I used to, I knew what they did with it, but we never discussed it. She said, so she related this. And then she said, the Lord told me, if you will pray for me and break the curse off of me, the Lord will heal me. I didn't believe what she just asked me to do. I said, well, if the Lord told you, okay, I'll do it. I said, anybody else? And there were 9 people in the congregation, no better than this, who came up here on Sunday morning to have the curse broken off of them from eating. The curse that comes from eating blood. That was my beginning of a study about cursing. Now, I have been told and read in Galatians 3:13 that Jesus became a curse so that I might be free from the curse of the law. But, you see, what does John 3:16 say? It says, for God so loved the world. Why? That he gave his only son. Wonderful. I don't mean a thing if we stop there. If we quit there, I don't mean a thing. Got to finish the verse. Whosoever. Who? And we're all whosoever. And then God showed me through that. And the curse that Jesus carried for you and me, we have to apply it to our individual situation. And then we have the authority in Jesus' name to break the power of that curse on our family line and everybody. Nobody excludes. You have curses from your family line or from your own doings that you're under or have been under. Unless you've been set free from. Let me give you a biblical example of a curse. Well, first, I want to read Genesis 19. Genesis 19, starting with verse 33. And they made their father drunk with wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down or when she rose. And it came on the pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesterday with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night. And you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and perceived not that she lay down or that she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. And the firstborn bare son called his name Moab, and the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ammon, the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Now, you see there what that is? Now, let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 23, and let's see what this calls. First one, Deuteronomy 23:1. And he that is wounded in the stones, or hand that private or cut off, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation, shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. An Amorite or a Moabite, children of Lot, by incest, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their 10th generation, approximately 400 years, shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Okay, the scripture tells us that incest is a curse, that illegitimacy is a curse. And if you have fought, and that illegitimacy is a 10-generation curse. And Now, did you ever wonder? I used to wonder until I figured it out. Why God had let Saul become king? Why didn't he let David's father be king instead of David? What does the scripture say? It says that the ruling of the house of Israel shall come through the tribe of Judah. Benjamin, Saul, he's of the tribe of Benjamin. Why did God do that? Because the scripture says contrary. See, God cannot disobey his own word. God's word is his word, and God cannot disobey his own word. And he said, back here in Genesis, back before Judah was even born, that he said that a bastard or a legitimate child can't enter into their congregation for 10 years, for ten generations. So, what happened? What did Judah do? Judah went and incest with his daughter-in-law, Tamar. Twins were born, from which the one came the seed of David, the godly seed. But 10 generations, well, the children of Israel were crying and begging and making a fuss that they had to have a king. So God said, okay, you give him a king. So they got Saul, because he was the big guy, you know, that showed. So they got Saul. But why couldn't they have gotten Jesse? Count him up. Jesse's only nine in the 10th generation. Jesse's only nine. David was the first. David and his brothers were the first who could become a king to Israel. Because a 10th generation curse, God's law had to run out before there could be a king in the Judah line, in the kingly line. So, I used to think about that. Until one day, somehow, I don't know, somebody said or what, I sat down and went through it, added them all up, and then explained to me why they got Saul instead of Jesse for a king outside of the godly, outside of the kingly line. In Exodus chapter 20 here, also God laid down a law. Now also, a lot of people I've heard in my lifetime, which had been a day or two, that the Old Testament is all Moses' law. And that got away with. We have pay no attention to anymore. We live under the New Testament. Well, Jesus contradicts that. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18 and 19, Jesus contradicts that. And he says that every word of this prophecy shall be fulfilled. Of this book. Yes. Every word of it. And so here in chapter 20 of Exodus, it says, and God spake all these words. Oh, God did. And he said, I thought there was Moses. No, God spake it. God said. He said, I am Yahweh, the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, the land of sin. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any that is in heaven above, or that is the earth beneath, though that is the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, doing what? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Now, King James says, that hate me. That is an erroneous translation. God didn't say that hate me. God said that do not obey my word, or do not reverence or honor me, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and do what? Keep my commandments, and my statutes, and my judgments. And then we go on with the Ten Commandments. But here you see, now, in the area of sexual sins, it's a 10-generation curse. In the area of other types of sins that we get ourselves involved in, we get a 3-to-4-generation curse. But the problem is, you see, that the devil takes that he has a right to you and me, and he cries somewhere in my children or my grandchildren or great-grandchildren to get them to repeat what I did. And so it almost, and if that happens, it almost becomes a perpetual curse. Same with sexual sins. 10 generations are approximately somewhere in the area of 400 years. And you know, in 400 years, you know, do you have any idea what your great-great-grandfather did? Or your great-great-great-grandmother did? Somewhere in that 10 generations is every sexual sin that you can imagine has been committed. There. You may not want to believe it, but it is. And the devil, all he has to do is to get somebody in this ancestral line to repeat that, and there it goes for another 10. So the sexual sins that we're under, I say, almost go back to Adam and Eve. So, we're dealing with more than just what I did. We're dealing with what our ancestors did. They were unaware of. And only God can show and reveal to us the things that are tormenting us, or where they came from, or why. Or he may not show them to you. But look, you deliver them. It was a miracle that Derek said, you're under your great-grandmother, a fortune teller. Otherwise, we would have never known if he hadn't said that. But she said, well, I've never been to a fortune teller. But she said, but my grandmother used to read tea leaves and look at your hand and tell your fortunes. There it was. That's what he picked up. And we need to be open to hearing the word of the Lord. And not be so vague, like I was, that it can't be so. See? Because I wasn't taught that it can't be so because the Bible said so. I was taught it can't be so because the preacher stood up here and said it. Just like when I was a kid, the preachers used to say, now most of the preachers in my day, and sometimes I think this is for a matter, were self-made preachers. They were a country farmer, or his dad was a country farmer. The preachers that were in my life, in my youth, were, one was a gangster out of Al Capone's mob, Chicago. One of them was from there. His name was Frosty Foster. And he was a big guy, and he only had one eye. And He was enough to scare the devil without saying anything. He was one of my first preachers. And he was a hellfire preacher. He had been put in prison for I don't know what. But before they put him in, he rolled two $100 bills up and shoved them up his nose so he'd have money in prison to buy drugs. And that's the kind of a guy. He was a rough guy. He was a wonderful Pentecostal preacher for that time. Another preacher that my folks helped start church, he was a Jew of T-cells. And all he knew about the Bible was what he read. What all of them knew in my early days. None of them went to Bible school. But anyway, I heard him stand up here in the pulpit and say, Jesus may come tomorrow. Well, that's true. He may come tomorrow. I'm not quite sure about that, because I still think there's a few things that haven't been fulfilled yet. But he could come tomorrow. So Jesus is going to come tomorrow. So don't waste your money. Don't you farmers waste your money. Don't paint the barn. Don't paint the house. And fix the fence with baling wire. Because you're wasting your money. What are you supposed to do with it? Put it to the mission field. Well, that was good. That was a good thing. To the mission field. But that wasn't the reason. The reason that you didn't paint the barn, because Jesus is coming tomorrow. Then definitely don't send your children to college. That's a place of hell. Don't send them to college. So what kind of colleges have we got today because of that teaching? No God in the schools that were raised up to be teachers of theology are now hell. Because the generation of the 20s and 30s and part of the 40s were taught not to send their children to college. No, if we went there, maybe the colleges wouldn't be like they are today. Because with no testimony, the devil had free play. He's got free play today. Because there's no testimony in school. And if you try to, they try to throw you out. Well, that's beginning to backfire. Thank the Lord for those who are standing up against the school systems and winning the cases. I applaud them. I bless them. I bless them. Amen. So that's my background, how I was raised. Now, the preacher Manuel, they thought they were doing right. It was and is heir to the detriment of the body of Christ. So then I said to these at Sunday morning, I said, well, if the Lord told me to pray for you, like, come on out, I'll pray for you. So I had 9 people come up here, and I prayed my first prayer, deliverance from a curse. My first one, Rachel. And she didn't die with sugar ideas. The Lord healed her. Now, I have been different places, and I talked about curses, and especially about the curse of incest and eating of blood. And I wasn't aware of this, but we were up in Nebraska, and there's an area up in Nebraska that's called Little Polar. Almost everybody in that area are from Polar. asked anybody what prayer, and I had two women got up here just like that. Big women, like this. And I said, there's nothing wrong with eating blood, blood soup. We've done that all of our life. I said, what you in prayer for? Well, I got heart trouble. I've got sugar diabetes. I forget to hit something. Both of them had three things. I could not get them to shut up about there was nothing wrong with eating blood. And finally I said to them, I said, you see these other people? I said, they want to be prayed for. Evidently you don't. I said, I haven't got time to argue with you or fight with you. I said, go there and sit down. And we'll talk to you if you want to talk to somebody. Look, I found out later, you see, that I was in the middle of a Polak community where that was common practice with everybody. And I was upsetting the apple cart that night. So, we can look at the word. I can look at it. Somebody can teach me something. Show me. And I can accept it or refuse it. That's my prerogative. But I'm the one that's going to get hurt. And if they happen to show me something, that the word that I see, the word is true, then it's my obligation to change my ways and do what it is written says. That is most important. It is written. And guess what? I want to find all of the scripture that says it is written. Now, over in Deuteronomy chapter 7, I got too many markers in here. No, I need them all. There are not too many. Verse 15. And the Lord will take away all from the all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. Look, if you obey, it is written. And then, so the Lord says, you take it away. Now I want to read to you. Where's that here? It's right here. What God says, that the curses will, chapter 27, is that what I want? Chapter 27, verse 15. Now God says that all these can happen to us. He says that He follows it with the blessings, and we can be blessed. So I want to evade all these. And if I have them, I want to be delivered of them. Curse broken. And then I have to be free so I can live under the balance of the chapter. Said, curses of he that sitteth light by his father or his mother. All the people shall say amen. Now, that means that does not honor your father and your mother. The first promise in the Bible is to those who honor their father and their mother. Now, you say, my dad did so-and-so, my mother, that'll make any difference. No difference. Just like the doc told last night, have to forgive. Have to forgive. So, you don't make light of your father and your mother. You're cursed if you do. Cursed is he that removes his neighbor's landmark. Now, we don't have that problem too much around here right now. I do have that problem across the street over here with this place over here. They have infringed some part of the campground property. But back in the days when this was written, your landmark was a pile of stones at the corner of your property. So, you move the stone pile, change the property line. And God says, you're cursed if you do that. Cursed is he that doesn't help the blind, that makes the blind to wonder. Cursed is he that perverteth righteous judgment. If you know something's right, generation, and we've been reading four generations in curses. Now, verse 20 is a 10-generation curse. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovered his father's skirt. And then all the people shall agree and say amen. They all agree. Adultery, fornication, incest, all three can apply that. Bestiality, cursed is he that lies with any manner of beast. Now, this next verse appears three times in the Bible. It appears twice back in Leviticus and once here in Deuteronomy. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. Now, that is a threefold scripture. My mother died. Your father died. My mother and your father get married. They both have children, and they get married and have more children. We've got three families. And each one of them family is, if you have any sexual relations in any way with stepfather, sister, stepbrother, brother or sister, it's a 10-generation curse on the family line. And this one verse, so simple, and it takes in so much, and God thinks so much about it, that it's three times it's in the scripture. Identical word for word. Screwed three times. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. Cursed be he that spreadeth his neighbor's secretly. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law. So, if you say, I don't believe that, or I'm not going to do that, you automatically are cursed. You've cursed yourself. So, from that time when I was confronted with this lady about eating a blood sausage, blood soup, and blood pudding, I began to study, to see, and I have found in my studies all that I've talked about here this afternoon. Not only that, but in my studies I have found other things as well. So, but I'm concerned about it is written. And there are lots of other areas in the scripture that it is written that we have been taught by tradition that we don't have to pay any attention to. I'm not going to get involved now, this afternoon, but one big thing that 90% of Christians or more are dogmatic about, that I can eat what I want because of Peter's vision. Peter's vision had absolutely nothing to do with Peter eating pork and ham. Nothing. It had to do with three heathen who was down at the door. And God gave him a vision, three visions, one for each heathen. And Peter didn't go down from the rooftop to have a pork dinner. He went down from the rooftop to meet three heathen that God had sent to take the message to the heathen. Now, you've been taught Gentile. The word Gentile is a man-made word. It is not in the Bible, in the original text. The word Gentile is man-made. Every place in your Bible, you get your strong concordance and look it up. You don't want to take my word for it. Every place you find the word Gentile in the Bible, if you look it up in the concordance, it will say, depending on what it's referring to, it'll either say singular heathen or plural heathens, or it'll say singular nation course, we almost live in a heathen nation. Getting all close to it. But, Lord, turn it around for your glory. Thank you. So, in my Bible, I've got a little article over there about the word Gentile. It goes through the whole list of the word in the Bible. And, you see, that word is used to imply that we're heathen. I'm not a heathen. I'm not a Gentile. First of all, I'm a Christian. Second of all, I'm a lineage of Abraham. And so are you. And I'm proud to declare that Abraham is my father. And he's your father. So, automatically, I'm not a Gentile, and neither are you. Sons and daughters of a living God. Amen. And we don't know what we're going to be, but he does. And he's working on us to get us ready for that time that we'll be. We strive and labor today to see the fruition of the kingdom of God in you and me, because it has to be in us before it can be in the earth. God's kingdom in the earth today. We are. That's an awesome, awesome responsibility in the earth. And sir, we are the kingdom of God in the earth today. And that's all your mind. If you really think about it, if you really study it and think of the responsibility that Jesus meant for you and me when he said that he gave unto them the responsibility. Which now is unto us the responsibility of the kingdom. Another thought comes to my mind. I hear preachers preach and teach that we are kings and priests. The Bible don't say that. In fact, as heir, there's only one king, and he's Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. There's only one king. And you will find that translation two times in the Bible. That says kings and priests. And two times you'll find it correctly translated. It's in the Bible four times. And it's correctly translated twice. We are a kingdom of priests, not kings. But you and I are making a kingdom of priests unto the Lord, unto our King, Jesus. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And we are a priesthood unto the Lord. And when I run across these little things in my Bible, I run a line through it. Every place Gentiles in my Bible, there's a line through it. So if I'm reading my Bible, or if I'm up here reading, I will not erroneously, just because I'm reading before I can think, say Gentile. Because I don't want to do that. Because it's wrong. Neither will you find me ever saying that we are kings and priests, because we're not. We are a kingdom of priests unto our King, the Lord Jesus. And if you get your Strong's Concordance out and look up what I've been talking about, if you want to check it for yourself, you'll find that what I have told you is correct according to Strong's Concordance. Or if you can get it, read, which I can't, the Hebrew Bible in Hebrew, you'll find that it great consolation in that. Well, let's see. What else can I say that I can screw everybody up? Well, I'll tell you. Patty, don't go far away. Because I need you in a minute. In Revelation chapter 22, Jesus tells us about the scripture. And he tells us that what will happen to us if we misappropriate or misteach the scripture. He said, verse 18, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And I didn't read them all, but a whole lot more. And all of those plagues have a right to come unto you if you know better and mistranslate or teach the Word of God. And you know better than to do it. But you do it because of tradition or because of your background in theology or whatever. Every plague in this book, you just ask for it. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, I study to understand for my benefit that I do not misapply the Word of God in what I say, what I teach, and what I do. I've been working for almost a year on a article. It's more than an article. It'll be a small book on what the Lord says, what are the statutes, what are the commandments. And, statutes, the commandments, the ordinances, and law. Now, there's one part of those four items that Jesus did away with at Calvary. But all the rest stands today just as much as the day that they were written by the prophets. Our God did. They stand today. And there are many, many scriptures where it says that you shall keep my statutes, my commandments, and my law. There are many of them. just as I read the last two verses of Revelation, it says the same thing without mentioning it. But I know that I'll have a lot of backlash because people will see that's all done away with. That's not so. But anyway, that's not my problem. God's laid it on me to sort it out and to do it. And whoever reads it, they're responsible. And not me. Well, Patty, I think we ought to have some deliverance on curses. She's my wonderful help. In more ways than I can tell you. She is. And all of her helpers.
You need to remember that Jesus' body is a good one on the tree. He took these curses for it. He bore those curses, all of those curses that we're talking about. He bore that's what we are applying and appropriating today. It's the same faith. I don't mean to preach to you. The same faith
that we exercise to ask Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and become Lord of our lives. We need faith to believe that He bore these curses and that in His name they can be broken in our lives. They're real. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand applying and appropriating Your Word today by faith in Your Word. And we break the curse of incest coming down through the generation man. We break it off of each and every individual in this room today and off of their generation man, off of their families, in the name of Jesus. We speak to that curse of incest and we command every spirit of incest that's residing in the bloodline, in these people, in the name of Jesus. We speak to the spirits of incest. We break the curse and we command the spirits of incest to come out in the name of Jesus. By the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His name, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus. We break it off of the children in this room. We break it off of them in the name of Jesus. And with that spirit of incest, we come against the spirit of perversion. We bind the spirit of perversion that arises, that works together with incest. We bind it. I come against the spirit of bestiality. I break the curse of bestiality over this congregation today, over everyone in this room today, in the name of Jesus, and over those that are that this message is going forth through the internet and through the tapes and the CDs and the DVDs, the teaching that Glenn has said here today. We break the curse. We break it off of these people in the name of Jesus. We cancel the assignment against them through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we break the curse of abortion. Hands shedding innocent blood. We break that off of this congregation today. In the name of Jesus, we come against the bestiality and the confusion that comes in with lying with the beast. We break that off of them in the name of Jesus. We cancel it in Jesus' name. Loose these people and let them go. In Jesus' name, you bow your knees to the Lord Jesus Christ and come out of them. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of idolatry. I break the curse of idolatry coming down through the bloodline. In Jesus' name, loose them. Loose them. We break it off of them. False gods, we break it off in the name of Jesus. Lord, we acknowledge that curses come because of disobedience to Your Word. So we break the curse of disobedience to the Word of God. We break that off of our family lines today in Jesus' name. Loose us, and let us go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we break the curse of unbelief. We come against the curse of unbelief coming down through the bloodline in Jesus' name. We command spirits of unbelief to come out of us. Come out of us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break the curse of disobedience to the Word of God. We break it in Jesus' name. We break it in the name of Jesus. We break it in the name of Jesus. We command the spirits of disobedience to come out of us in the name of Jesus. Come out of these children in the name of Jesus. These spirits of disobedience, I command them to come out of the children in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break the curse of eating blood. We break it in Jesus' name. We break it off of these people, off of their generation man, off of their heritage. In the name of Jesus, none of us know what our generations back that many years did. We break it off. I was one of those 9 people that stood up here when Glenn prayed against diabetes. My dad lost his leg because of diabetes. We break you in the name of Jesus. Jesus has canceled this assignment of death. And I come against the curse of death that has come in. The sin unto death, the curses that were levied, and it says a sin unto death. We break the curse of death over this congregation today. In the name of Jesus, we break it off of us in Jesus' name. And we command every spirit of death that's residing in our physical bodies to loose us and to let us go in Jesus' name. Come out of us, you spirit of death. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Loose us and let us go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Your assignment has been broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. The assignment of death against us, it's broken by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus, I come against the curse that came in with Adam and Eve believing a lie as truth. I break that curse off of us in the name of Jesus. The enemy is so skilled at causing us to taking a lie and causing us to believe it is truth. In Jesus' name, we break that off of our minds today. We break it off of our minds today in the name of Jesus. 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 Loose us and let us go. Lord, we ask for warring angels, ministering angels, to come forth in this sanctuary to help and to assist, to dislodge these demons that are residing, that are hiding in Jesus' name, behind the other things. In the name of Jesus, we bind them off of these people. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath, Glenn says. Take a deep breath and cough them out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break the curse of witchcraft. We break the curse of witchcraft coming down through the bloodline. In the name of Jesus, through the family line. In the name of Jesus, the Bible says, suffer not a witch to live. In Jesus' name, we declare destruction upon these curses of witchcraft in our family lines and in us, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and that association between witchcraft and rebellion. The Bible says witchcraft is as rebellion, and we bind it off of us in the name of Jesus. Rebellion against God's Word. Rebellion against God's Word in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we break the curse of the bastard off of this congregation. In the name of Jesus, we come against and break the curse of the bastard. In the name of Jesus, the curse of illegitimacy. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I come against and break that off of this congregation. We come against the curse of sodomy coming down through the bloodline. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we break it in the name of Jesus. We loose us and let us go. Loose us and let us go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You guys, you gotta hate these things that are in you. Their only purpose is to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you from the purposes of God coming forth in your life. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break the powers of unbelief. I break them in the name of Jesus. Refusing to believe the Word of God for what it means and not for what we've been taught it means, like Glenn was talking. We break all the powers, the doctrines of demons, that have perverted the truth. In the name of Jesus, we cut ourselves loose from that today. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We break the curse of infirmity. In the name of Jesus, we break its power over us. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of infirmity, come out of these people. Come out of these people in the name of Jesus. Come up and out of them in Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Come on, all of it, all of it, all of it. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of infirmity, come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Jesus.
We will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord.
Amen, amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Come against the powers of Indian ancestry in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of Indian ancestry off of these people in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. The powers of the occult, we break your power in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Break the curse of the Antichrist spirit. I break it in Jesus' name. I break it in the name of Jesus. That Antichrist spirit that wars against the anointing of God, I break it in Jesus' name. I break it off of these family lines in Jesus' name. And I command the spirits of Antichrist to loose these people and let them go. Loose them and let them go in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, Lord, we break the curse of rejection. We speak to the curse of rejection coming down through the family line. In Jesus' name. Jesus, deliver your people, Lord. Deliver your people, Lord Jesus. Deliver them, Lord Jesus. Deliver us, Lord. Your word says, whosoever, and we are whosoever's. We're calling on your name today, Lord. We're asking for deliverance, Lord Jesus. We're crying out for it, Lord God. We know that you want us set free. You gave your own life so that we can be free, Lord Jesus.
Praise you, Lord. You are the deliverer, Jesus. You are the deliverer, Lord. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, for our formulas. Forgive us, O Lord, for our preconceived ideas. The box that we've put you in. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Just deliver us, Lord, however you want to do it. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. I just break the curse of shame. I come against the spirits of shame in these people. I break the powers of shame over their lives. The shame that the enemy puts in front of them and has bound them with. In Jesus' name, causing them to believe that they're not worthy. Causing them to believe that they're not accepted in the Beloved. In the name of Jesus, I break the curse of shame. And I command it to loose these people in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, come out of them. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Then wants to sing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus. Somebody come and help us, please. Come on, Mara. You come and sing, Oh, the Blood of Jesus with us. Come on. We know. You know that song.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. Who can tell what God can do? Who can tell what His love for you? In the mighty name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Get up. Get up right now. The way you want it to. Let him know in the name of Jesus. See? They have to flee.
That's right.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee.
Within him that God has made, and you are privileged enough, each one of us are privileged enough to sit here and feast. Thank you. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that your word does not return void. You watch over your word to perform.
Amen.
And we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this meal. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing those that have worked so diligently to prepare it. We thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, and we just bless them today, Lord. We bless the all the ones that are helping in the kitchen, in the dining room, in maintenance, in everything that it takes to keep this operation going during camp meeting, Lord. Many of them are never able to be in the services, and we just bless them, Lord, for you are their portion. You are their reward. Bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.